Welcome to Fuel, a podcast for propelling your leadership journey. I'm Joe Mahalik, the Propel Leadership Development Program Manager. Propel strives to develop leaders who write, speak, and behave consistently with a heart of service. Each month, Fuel gives you up-close and personal access to NAVC thought leaders who have been there, done that, and are ready to tell their stories, ready to invest in you. So whether you're interested in learning what leadership's all about, or you've been a leader for years, we're all on an ongoing professional journey which requires fuel. In this episode, we jump right in with Captain Todd Hutchison, who recently made the transition from commanding officer of NSWC Carterock to program manager for surface ship modernization. He shares the importance of developing your own character and consistency by serving the fleet and serving the team. Some might say, well, Joe, why are you even talking to a uniformed military person if this is a podcast for civilian leaders? And I think I would just say to them, hang on, just listen.
Each of us has our individual lives, and each of those lives is a journey. And there are many ebbs and flows or peaks and valleys or whatever example you want to use there. And mine has been no exception. So I think when I first came in, I started enlisted and went through boot camp, and it was not something that my family expected, nor did I, but was kind of the path laid before me. And so I jumped in. But I think it's safe to say that early and even shortly after I got my commission, I was trying to emulate what I thought I should be as a third class petty officer, as a machinist mate, as an ensign, as a lieutenant. Over the course of, the first 10 to 15 years of my career, which now I'm closing in on 28, I think I gradually got more comfortable in my skin and realized that while there are certainly many things that are unique to wearing the uniform and leading other people that are in uniform, as you said, on the pointy end of the spear, operational warship time, at the end of the day, under that uniform is just a person with the same needs and desires and goals and experiences as any of the people that I had the privilege of leading before I got in uniform and before I came into the Navy. Now, I was not that cognizant, I'd say, of that dawning realization that early in my career, and I certainly had no way of knowing that my path would ultimately lead me to acquisition, where I had the privilege of working alongside and leading so many civilians. But it did serve me well. And I became, especially as I got to be executive officer and then commanding officer of USS Michael Murphy, I spent a lot of time there thinking about, and the Navy asks prospective executive officers and commanding officers to spend time thinking about your leadership philosophy. And when many of my peers were thinking about that, it was not military focused, but it was very kind of what you'd expect from a Navy commander that's going to command at sea. And mine was a little different. I'd come across a book called The Servant about that time, and just the way my own leadership philosophy was shaping up, I realized that I was really most focused and took the most satisfaction in serving the members of my team and removing obstacles from their day-to-day and helping them achieve a good, and I'll steal from Kim Scott, use the word work-life integration instead of work-life balance in a book I highly recommend called Radical Candor. So in achieving some better work-life integration, which that integration piece is important because it talks about inclusion as well, because the people we are at home are the people that come to work. People are just shades of different level of comfort talking about that. And the people we are at work, we take home. So that's important on the integration piece. But it really got back to the servant leadership and me focused on serving my team. And of course, delivering for my bosses, like I never lost sight of that as well. But I found I could do both. And as I thought more about what that meant, because that's a little cliche, hey, I want to be a servant leader. Like, I think we hear that a lot. But I refashioned it in this three-legged stool that, Joe, you and I have talked about many times. You've heard me say this and share with some of the classes we've worked with together. And the three legs are, I think, is what kind of puts some meat on the bones of that servant leadership, at least as I interpret it and how I focused on. And the three legs are respect, communication, and humility. And they're very intertwined. And I can talk ad nauseum about like each of those three and what they mean. And it's more than just what's on the surface. But to go back to what you were talking about and asked about with the transition from leading all military operational units to even going to frigate, which I was in PMS 515 in the FFG 62 class, was my first exposure to a really predominantly civilian organization. And I was just kind of a mid-grade leader there. Well, actually, originally, I was no official leadership capacity whatsoever, just working shoulder to shoulder with a lot of civilians, many of whom were very much younger than me. And then I took kind of a mid-grade leadership position and then had the opportunity to go to Carter Rock, where I led a 2,800-person all-civilian organization. And now I'm here at PMS 421, which is about 100 small group of military, mostly government civilian and contractors. But if you go back to the servant leadership stool, people want to be respected. They want to have leaders who act with humility, and they want to be communicated with effectively, which means both spoken to in a respectful, candid, succinct manner, but also listened to, like the transmitter and the receiver part are both part and parcel of that communication piece and getting it right. So the similarity across all of those jobs is people are people. And whether you go back to Maslow's hierarchy or whatever else, you know, they all at their core want the same things. And it's not to have it easy. And that's what I've really come back to with a lot of people. You know, I've seen and worked for leaders who are like, we'll give them time off or a bonus or, you know, the work less hours or, okay, people don't hate any of that stuff, just to be clear. But people really respond well to being challenged, to be challenged with high goals, to be part of a high-performing organization and know that they contributed to that organization performing at a high level. And they like to win. You know, it's core to all of us that we like to win. And so, you know, I've been part of organizations that have struggled and that are not doing well. And with those, what I found is you start with the little things, like you celebrate little wins. Even if you kind of think it's a little silly, you're like, yes, we got that done. We got that one paper done on time. Let's celebrate. And then they like the feel of that. And so then you set higher goals. And then they like the feel of winning at those. And before you know it, they are just wildly exceeding the goals you're setting because there's just now a habit of success. And that is awesome to watch.
One of the things you had talked about actually ties to some research on leadership that we talk about in the Propel launch class, and that is that people will work for those monetary rewards, those time off, the things that you mentioned. However, what is more impactful, and this again is research that shows this, is that autonomy, mastery, and purpose are bigger drivers for contribution. What you said just a few minutes ago about your approach is the application of that research. So I love that real story, that personal story that reinforces in the quote unquote real world, this research on leadership approaches and investing in others. The other thing that you mentioned, and I'd love for some additional comments on one of the legs of your stool is humility. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
One of the things that I've shared with people when explaining the three legs of my servant leadership stool, specifically as it pertains to the humility leg, is my experience has been that the three most powerful things that a leader can say to members of their organization is, I was wrong, I don't know, or I need help. And even though I've worked for leaders who would never dare to say those things because they often were like, if I'm not, you know, I should be the smartest person in every room. You know, they felt a responsibility to do that. And I don't begrudge that, but I'm not even the smartest person in this room, if I count you as virtually in this room right now. And so I've often shared with my team, like this team, I have no maintenance experience other than being the receiver of a lot of maintenance as a, you know, a ship driver in my career. modernization, the processes, the lexicon, everything. And so I'm 3 months in, and if the team knows anything by now, they know I'll go down there and knock on their office door and say, I have no idea what this means, or I have no idea what this process is. And I certainly have no idea what things I need to take on as a program manager and the leader of this organization, but they do. They have that experience in spades, and they've seen and have bruises and cuts from those challenges before. And so it's only with their help and with their knowledge that I can get that insight and then start trying to work to take those things for action and improve it.
Your approach of and really your mindset of saying, I don't know, and I need help with this, it really kind of leads into another thing I wanted to ask you about. Since you've been in this position for about 3 months, I'd really be curious to know, what are some of the most recent lessons that you have learned or you've run into regarding leading and leadership?
So one of the things I've really learned in this organization is all of us, or many of us at least, that are, whether you're in uniform or civilian, are working for relatively or very senior leaders in the organization, and they haven't gotten there by accident. They've obviously been successful for them to have been selected or promoted or advanced for their current positions. And so while I was at Carver Rock, I could do business a lot of the way that I wanted to do business. And I just had to kind of work with Mr. Tarasek, the technical director, to make sure that we were well aligned. Here, there's less me and my admiral being aligned as much as he has many other leaders that work for him that are peers of mine. And so he can't adjust to meet all of our styles. I have to adjust to meet his style and make sure that I get attention to the things that he needs to have attention on. I am kind of the gatekeeper for that information. And so he gets pulled in, you know, seven times as many meetings as I do, and more with S2 and S1 in industry, and is engaged in a lot of different areas that I don't have visibility on. So if I have five things that I need to get his attention on, maybe I have a meeting for one of those, but I go in with a list of four others. And this is just a very specific example of something I've done a couple of times very successful with them over Haig, is I'll say, hey, sir, here to brief you on this topic. And at the end, I've got four of the things that I just want to get your quick awareness of or a quick decision on. And he's been super receptive to that. That way we focus on what the meeting's about, but at the end we cover several other things, because it's just hard to get separate time for drive-bys because he is so very busy. Again, like many of his peers at that level, at the Echelon 3, Echelon 2, it only gets more and more busy. So just figuring out exactly where to meet our boss and how to meet their needs and kind of mesh with how they need the information presented to them is a total game changer. And so when I came here, I realized, you know, it's understanding where you are in the big hierarchy. That, to your point, I was kind of going back into a more middle management position. And so I've got to be clear with communicating to my team, but I've also got to flex in a way, whether it's even with my working hours or my style or my communications, that I was meeting the boss where he is to get him the information he needs. Like, he texts a lot and prefers to do that. And so that's something that I didn't do before as much, but we do that regularly, and it's a good way to bring his awareness. Even I may send him an email and follow it up with a text and say, this is in your inbox. And all indications are he appreciates that. And it's a way that I make sure that my engine keeps running here in 421.
What, from your perspective, is some character or characteristics that have been consistent with you, maybe that have even grown stronger regardless of the role that you played from the time that you were, you know, junior enlisted to being uniform officer leading an entire ship onto your current role?
When I was in an intern program at George Washington, I was a lieutenant. I was a long way away from being selected for command at sea or even knowing where my Navy career was gonna end up. And we took a survey in one of our classes, and to be honest, it's kind of one of those surveys. You're taking this class and it's late. You've already written three papers and you're like, oh God, you're just pressing the buttons. And I was like, you know what? This is a survey that probably people in industry are paying thousands of dollars to have and get that assessment and insight into their motivations and their personality and things like that. And that's important. And so, hey, Todd, like, why don't you actually take some time and be honest on this here? Nobody else is going to see that. It's literally just for your own professional development. And what I got out of that survey really gave me insight into just what my personal motivations are, which, to get back to the servant leadership stool, I'm sure that was a part in me having that realization a few years later. It's, I just like seeing people succeed and do well and get that smile on their face where, you know, when you've done right by somebody and you've connected the dots for them in a way and they're like, wow, like, yeah, I did that or we did that. There's nothing that is more satisfying for me than that. And to go even back to before Navy, I had a bunch of jobs. I worked at a car wash. I was a resident assistant. I worked three different kinds of construction jobs. The construction jobs I love because at the end of the day, like I did conveyor installation in a distribution center one time. It was my first kind of supervisory job with a bunch of kind of temporary labor. So it was an interesting challenge for a teenager. And but at the end of the day, like my boss and I could look at all the conveyor installation that we had laid in and bolted into concrete or hung from the ceiling and all these racks and sensors and everything and be like, yep, we did that. When I got more into a professional career of management and leadership, for a while I struggled because I didn't see the conveyor strip that was laid in or the framing that was done or the car that was cleaned. I even worked in a catering kitchen, which was very satisfying because you got a bunch of dirty dishes here and I was a dishwasher. So you got a bunch of dirty dishes here and then at the end they're clean and man, that is satisfying. Until I started looking for that glint in my employees' eyes and that smile on their face or that, you know, maybe a little cheesy, but that spring in their step that when they walked away from a meeting or a discussion or whatever, that I was like, man, they get it. Like they are proud of what we have done together. And the fact that I had an opportunity in every job in the Navy, not just in command, not just as a PM, just as a guy, a person, like looking out for the interests of other people, that I could help achieve that for them and have them go home at night and talk to their significant other or their kids or their parents and be like, man, we did something cool today. Or my team did something cool today. I mean, mic drop. Like that's it for me, but that is it for me. And so as I've gone through the rest of my career and I've been able to see that, like that is what is truly my motivating factor to keep digging and keep learning, because the better I can do at achieving that with a larger percentage of my workforce, because the larger the team gets, the harder it is to get that or even know that you've had that effect on a lot of people you don't contact frequently, is the most important thing for me. And in doing so, now that I'm in this position and our program manager and we're very fleet focused, I can do that and also know that we are serving the fleet by doing that. So that's why my kind of command philosophy, as it were, here is serve the fleet, serve the team, because I found that here those two things are intertwined. I'm serving the fleet by serving the team, by giving them tools to succeed. We're able to serve the fleet better, and I'm able to deliver warfighting capable ships on time to fleet commanders for tasking. And make no mistake, that is the job that I'm here to do. It's not to make friends with or for us to always go out, you know, for fun social events, although that's important to the serving your team piece. It's about making sure we deliver ships back to fleet commanders for tasking. Where I feel like people get in a really bad spot when they're leaders is where they spend a lot of time watching other leaders that they believe have been successful. And they don't learn from them as much as mimic them. And so they use, like, they face this situation and they took this action. And so then when they are in a leadership role and they are faced with a similar situation, that's the action they take, which works well until you're faced with a situation that you didn't observe that leader have to face. And then, unfortunately, you have to interpolate or guess. And then that gets you in a position where you don't know exactly how to act. For me, I've had some challenging leaders and I've had some fantastic nurturing leaders, but I've learned from all of them and I'm grateful for my time with all of them. But one of the things that helped me do is find my own path and who Todd Hutchison was, which paid off when I got to work with civilians, because if I just have to depend on my rank insignia to tell people why a decision I'm making is the right one, then I've lost before I've even started. Like, you just have to meet people where they are, whether it's your boss or your team, and then together work towards success.
Thank you for joining this episode of the Fuel Podcast, brought to you by the Propel Leadership Development Program. Thanks for adding fuel to propel your journey.